It's unbelievable. Well, we're in our last sermon in the book of Jonah. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Jonah chapter 4, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4 today. But I want to begin reading verse 9 of chapter 3. It gives us a heads up on chapter 4. Verse 9 of chapter 3 says, this is the king of Nineveh speaking. The people had gotten themselves in sackcloth and ashes, a picture of their sorrow and guilt and repentance toward God. In verse 9, he says, after doing that same thing himself, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? He said, who can tell that? It's only up to God. It's not our choice. It's not what we decide, but it's God that decides that. Amen? And so they were trusting in God at that point, this whole nation. Verse number 10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. That's grace. God's mercy. Now we get to chapter 4. You would say, as I would say, God's a good God. Amen? Verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Remember what we just read? Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased. Underline that word displeased. It's a kind way. In our vernacular today, that word displeased does not carry the connotation that it carried then. Today, we would say something like, it blew his mind. It enraged him. It incensed him. That's how we would read it now. So, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. So God doesn't just say he's enraged. Enraged. He adds a word there to amplify his anger, and he says exceedingly. Have you ever been that angry toward anyone? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. That word, those two words, very angry, means wrath or fuming, filled with indignation. He was boiling over with rage. Why was he so mad? What caused him to be that way? When we hear it, we're going to say, what on earth? What's wrong with that man? So here's what he does. He's angry with God, ticked off. He's mad. He's boiling over with rage. He's uncontrollably wroth with God. So what does he do? Does what every Christian does. He prays. That's not what we would do. But this prayer is not, Lord, forgive me. This prayer is, I've got something I want you to know. He's talking to the God of heaven. You talk about digging a ditch and jumping in it. Now, he's there. So here's what he says. He says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Now, he's saying this to himself. He's telling God, this is what I was thinking about the whole time I was in my country. What was he thinking about? If I go and preach in Nineveh, you're probably going to go down there and show him mercy and just blow my whole thought about this nation apart and ruin my attitude, my mind, ruin my game, ruin my life. Thanks a lot. He was mad. He was ticked off. He was overwhelmingly upset with God for showing mercy to a rebellious people. It's unbelievable. Now, I think there are some reasons that we need to know about Jonah that would cause this kind of reaction. Let me just give you three. Number one, his response in anger was due to a selfish spirit. And he prayed and said unto the Lord, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, and I know that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and great of mercy, and repentest thee of the evil. It's I, all about me. Thinking of himself, thinking of his, what he knew to be or thought to be true or understood as the truth, was falling apart. Because when he preached, and God said, preach judgment, he would preach judgment, and God would bring judgment. He saw it happen to his own people. You remember the king that was king during the time of Jonah, Jeroboam. He was a wicked king. He decided to build his own altar, build his own place of worship, apart from where God said to worship. And he said, I'm just doing it myself. You follow me, and we'll have our own kingdom, northern kingdom. We'll worship the way we want to worship. We'll build an altar so big and so nice that you just won't even believe it. And he did. In walks a little prophet, some unknown prophet. Jonah probably knew him. This prophet said, I'm going to tear down your altar. Jeroboam said, you better not touch that. And he pointed his finger at that prophet. And as soon as he did that, his hand withered up. I'm sorry for laughing. But he says to the prophet, after he showed his how big and mean he was, how tough he was, the king, you're not going to do this. His hand withers up. And he said, please, could you make this hand better? Could you make it like the one I have now, the good one? When those prophets preached about God's coming judgment, the judgment came. But Jonah knew something that many of us do not know, or did not know, or many of his people did not know, that sometimes God chose to repent of his judgment due to the change in attitude of the people that he was going to judge, and he judged them not. Jonah knew that was a possibility. So number one, Jonah's response in anger was due to a selfish spirit. Number two, Jonah's response in anger was due to his knowledge of Israel's future ruin. What? Jonah prophesied between 790 and 775 BC. Sixteen years. Hosea, also a prophet, prophesied at that same time. He was a prophet. And Hosea prophesied that God was going to send Assyria. Nineveh was the capital of what nation? Assyria. Hosea prophesied that God was going to send Assyria to destroy Israel and Jerusalem and take Israel captive. And by the way, that happened in 720. 55 years after Jonah and Hosea prophesied. Jonah would have been privy to Hosea's prophecy. You get this picture yet? These Ninevites are going to come and destroy us and take us captive. God wants me to go and preach. And if he, think with me now like Jonah would think, if he delivers them, then they can come and take us captive, destroy us. If he doesn't deliver them, then judgment will fall on them and they will not come, take us captive and destroy us. Do you see that thinking? That's exactly what he's thinking. So what did he do? He took off to Tarshish so he wouldn't have to preach, fearing that God may intercede and be merciful. He didn't want that to happen, so he said, if I don't say anything, I don't preach, they won't hear, God will judge them, we'll be okay. But that's like you and I telling God how our future's going to work out. That's like you and I telling God what's going to happen tomorrow and why we want it to happen and this way it's going to be. That removes the sovereignty of God and makes God just another person. Well, God isn't just another person. God is sovereign. God said under Hosea that there will be a judgment. And sure enough, there was a judgment. There was nothing Jonah could have done about it. He should have just been obedient and done what God said in the first place. But here he's angry. He's miffed. So he was angry due to selfishness. He was angry due to his knowledge of Israel's future ruin. There's one other reason he was angry. And you need to write this down. He had mistaken patriotism, which could not accept God's offer of mercy to a heathen nation. He had mistaken patriotism. He was an Israelite, a Jew. God's chosen people. Everybody else below that was below that. Everybody else was not God's chosen people. And when they were a heathen nation like this nation, they were the offscouring of society as far as Israel was concerned. They were no good. You get into the New Testament, you find the Jews there. How did they respond to the Greeks? They hated them. How about the Samaritans? They were part Jewish. They hated them. They wouldn't even walk through their country. They had a disdain for others. And it was a powerful attitude they had. So there were three reasons he was angry. As I see it, selfish spirit, knowledge of Israel's future ruin, and this mistaken patriotism, this misunderstanding of what God could do and would do. Now there's a second thing. Not only Jonah's anger, but number two, God poses a question. Look, verse 4. Then said the Lord, why are you so angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Do you have a reason to be angry? What's your reason? Those people, those other people, those sorry individuals. Now listen to me very carefully. There are people in the world that may be hateful, may hate you. Sometimes those things are just perceived that way. But irresponsible of that, we feel the heat from them. That causes us to what? Blame them, grow bitter, feel like we have a right to hate them, we have a right to be against them, we have a right to respond the way we respond, and I'm here to tell you as a believer, you do not. The worst people in our nation may hate you, but you're not to hate them back. Period. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what they've said. Doesn't matter what they've said. You're not the judge in charge. God is. And who's the one that is in charge of all judgment? God. So God poses this question, why are you so angry? How foolish. What's wrong with you? You know, by the time God asked that question, Jonah said, Lord, just kill me. Put me to death. He didn't want to die. He had a hard time being alive in that fish's belly. He didn't want to die. You talk about dramatic. I hate to tell you, but Jonah was a drama queen at this point. Or king, whichever you want to make him. He was just being silly. So Jonah responds in anger. God responds with a question. Jonah retreats. Look at verse 5. Jonah enters Nineveh, 60 miles across the city. He goes in 20 miles, begins to preach. For all intent and purpose, we know he preached at least one full day, solid, preached. Amen? How many remember how long it was God said he was going to if they did not repent, how many days was he going to give them to repent? And then judgment came. How many? 40. 40 days. 40 days. So he goes in and preaches one day. As he's leaving, people start falling on their faces. People start crying out to God. And he's going, I could just see him. He's going, oh, no. I wouldn't have been surprised he would turn and said, you don't have to do that. Don't repent. I was just kidding. He saw this going on. He's just, when it says he retreats, look at verse number 5. It says, so Jonah went out of the city. The thought there is that he got out faster than he went in. How many understand what I'm saying? He was just heated up. And he sat on the east side of the city. He goes out all the way to the east side of the city and sits down on the ground. Can't you just see that? That's like a little kid who didn't get to play with his mud pie and pouts about it. That's what he's doing. He goes out and sits down. I could just see him. He's mad at God. How foolish. Listen to what else. And there he made him a booth. That word booth means he made a structure. A temporary place to sit in. So he goes out, spends time building, hammering away, whatever he did, puts sticks away, builds out this thing. I don't know if it was a tent or what he made, but he gets inside it. There's no roof over it, but he's at least inside, away from the people, and he can pout privately. He can be angry privately. He can think all the things he wants to say and say it in that booth and nobody will hear him and he'll sure show them something. This is crazy. He sat in this booth in its shadow, giving some relief from the heat, till he might see what would become of the city. He sat out there for 39 days. Why? He was hoping beyond hope that God would still what? Judge the city. God had already decided what he's going to do back in chapter 3 and verse 10. He repented him of the evil that he had planned and forgave them. Jonah's now out in his little building, upset, angry, in distress. And what's he thinking about 24/7? I hope he judges. 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 Those stinking Ninevites, I hope they get what they deserve. You can be thankful to this very day that God did not give us what we deserve. What was he doing? He was disgusted with God. And it tells us why he did it, to see what would happen. He evidently preached, quickly left the city, then 39 days waited outside of the city, on the east side of the city, in a little tent he built, hoping beyond hope that God would judge these people for what they've done, what they are, who they are, because of what they deserve from his viewpoint. So Jonah retreated. Now Jonah's sitting out there on the east side, no covering over his head. The shadow has faded away. Guess what? This idea he had wasn't so hot. I mean, it was hot. I'm sorry. This one's such a good idea. East side of the city, I built this thing. When I built it, it was pretty shady. And now a few days later, 39 days later, it's getting pretty bad. And he is in trouble. He's miserable. But I don't think he was just miserable because of the conditions. He was miserable because of the condition of his heart. So what does God do? Look at verses 6 through 9. Lord God prepared a gourd. That word gourd is simply, it's a word for a plant, a palm crest plant. It was a leafy plant that grew large leaves. And he made it come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from the grief of the heat. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. Man, oh man, am I happy that thing showed up. I'm glad it grew up. Goody for me. He evidently saw this as maybe some kind of vindication. I don't know. It certainly was a picture of God's mercy, amen? For God so kind to him to give him the shadow he needed to the so that he have the rest he needed and the respite from the heat. And about the time that he was getting used to having that shadow, look at the next verse. God prepared a worm. That's a leaf-eating worm. Leaf eaters. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It ate all the leaves away. No more shade. And then God did something else. It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun, by the way, the history of that area is that the heat comes from the east. The wind comes from the east in that part of the country. And it's terrible. Sometimes sandstorms and it just blinds you. But the heat is overwhelming. You can't control it. Smart guy Jonah, instead of going to the west side of the city, he went to the east side of the city. He went the wrong way. You know, isn't that his life? He kept going the wrong way. Goes east. Verse 9, God said to Jonah. Let me finish verse 8. The heat beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished in himself to die. Here, now he wants to die again. It is better for me to die than to live in this terrible circumstance. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, and this is a key verse, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Is it right for you to be angry for the gourd? For the gourd? For the gourd? For this plant? You're more concerned about the plant. You're more upset over how I treated the plant. And he said to God, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, verse 10, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored. You didn't do a thing to get it or receive it. Neither made it grow, came up at night, perishing at night. Should not I spare Nineveh? Do you see this incredible picture? You had more concern for the silly gourd than you did for the people of Nineveh. People! We're in a society today that values things more than people. They put more value on things than people. My house, my car, my job, my dog, my cat. I hear at Christmas time one more of those stupid commercials where they sing Silent Night because of the ill treatment of dogs. I don't think dogs should be ill treated. Amen? I think people ought to be put to the test if they do something like that to a poor animal. But they are not more important than babies in the womb. Jonah was there. The gourd. God said, you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. Nothing you did to get it. But I gave it to you. That's called grace. Everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace. Said, I showed you grace, and yet you would not show 1 ounce of grace to the people of Nineveh. Well, I'm not like you, Jonah. Should not I have shown mercy and grace to the people of Nineveh if they repented? Where there were 120,000 who did not discern between their right hand and their left. And there's two understandings of that. It was either people who were so uneducated they could not. Some believe that. Others believe it's talking about children. Young children who had not quite learned that yet. Either way, Jonah was wanting them all to die. Was wanting them all to be put to death. And God said, should not I have spared these people, Jonah? Should not I have shown to them mercy? Should not I have shown and given to them grace? I did to you, and I've done to you, and I've done it to Israel and many others. And Jonah, you are wrong. God's lesson prepared the gourd. Sent an infestation. God's answer has three important qualities to it. Verses 10 and 11, you want to write these three things down. When God said what he said to Jonah in verse 11, number one, it was proper for him to say it. Should not I? Jonah forgot what God was really like. Who God really was. Our New Testament bears that out. God is not willing that any should perish. What? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It was proper for God to say it. Should not I? Number two, it was a declaration of his mercy. ...700,000 people in that city. Jonah wanted them all dead. God wanted them all saved. What? Pastor, they were murderers. Yeah. They were wicked people. Yep. They were hateful. They treated others with no mercy. I know. Jonah had a right to hate them, maybe from a human viewpoint, but not from God's viewpoint. God's viewpoint says, you know what? I love them. They need me. They need Christ. They need salvation. It's proper. It was merciful. God's answer number three was consistent with his character. This is not inconsistent with God's character. Let me give you just four things. I'll be done. What do we get? What can we gather? What can we learn from Jonah? These four things are so important because they cross all barriers. They cross from the old to the new and the new to the old. Number one, write this down. You don't write anything down, write this down. Jonah teaches us that God is always right. Jonah teaches us that God is always right. Have you ever thought, well, this isn't right? I don't care what God says, this just can't be right. God is always right. Your thinking matters not at that point. God is always right. Number two, here's a hard pill for us to swallow sometimes. God loves everybody. Jonah was fine staying in Israel. He knew God loved those people. When he went beyond the bounds of Israel into Nineveh, he just, no way. Jonah, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. They're despicable. God loves everybody. Hey, I don't like what's going on in America. I'm speaking now personally. I don't like some of the things that are happening to some of the cities in America. God should just judge those people. No, God loves everybody. As hateful as they may be, as despicable as they may be, as contrary as they may be, God still loves them. What kind of God is that? A God of love. Number one, God is always right. Number two, God loves everybody. Number three, God never judges like we do. I have a right to hate that person. I do. I have a right. No. You judge wrongly. God judges rightly. You don't know what they said, what they did. God never judges like we do. Number four, God extends His grace to all. You don't have to accept it. That's fine. But it damns your soul. I remind you again, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't understand how those wicked people, godless people, mistreat God and hate others and just despise some people. How on earth can God be willing to save them? Because God loves everyone. Because God is always right. God doesn't judge like we do. And God is willing to extend grace to everybody. Period. God help us to learn from this man how we ought to walk and serve and live for Jesus. Amen? Amen? Lord, help us to live for you. I pray in your precious name. Amen.